Our first reading today puts before us something that can seem strange and mysterious. I'm talking about the will of God. What does God allow? Who does God favor? When we talk about God's will, we must distinguish between his perfect will and his permissive will. Here's an example. There's a fire in a fireplace. Is that good or bad? If you're wise, you'd say, well, it depends. Okay, now picture a chilly December evening and the fire is making our living room warm and comfortable. The perfect will of God for fire and a fireplace. However, when nobody's looking, it gets into my head, in my granddaughter's head, the idea to stick her hand in the fireplace. That would be bad. Because nobody's looking, there are obviously three choices for God. He can override the laws of nature so that the fire never burns anything we don't want burned. He can override my granddaughter's free will and never allow her to make harmful choices. Or he can permit it to happen so that something good comes of it. Perhaps she learns a lesson that keeps her from greater dangers in the future. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, life was simple. The perfect will of God reigned. God's perfect will is when he directly desires a thing to happen or not to happen, which always produces an immediate and ultimate good. The fire was in the fireplace, and the living room was comfy. The Catechism teaches us that God's perfect will for us is that we should have access to the Father and thus become sharers in the divine nature. An important part of the perfect will of God is that men and women have free will so that we can learn to love as God loves. God gives us this light. How are we using it? Because hidden in that gift of free will is also the permissive will of God. God's permissive will is when he allows a thing to happen that is not necessarily an immediate good. My granddaughter burning her hand. God is not the author of evil by directly willing it, but he often permits evil for a couple of reasons, at least that we know of. First, God allows evil things to happen to preserve the gift of free will that he's given us. Because without free will, we cannot love as God loves. Second, God allows evil because he knows that he can bring about a greater good despite our poor choices. If man chooses to use his freedom to choose the perfect will of God, then peace, harmony, goodness, union with God would be the essence of his life. In short, he could remain in Eden. But he misused the light that God gave him. And sin complicated things. The permissive will of God respected man's choices, respected his freedom, and through man's choices, pain, hard labor, marital discord, strife, violence, death came into the world. But even from the beginning, God promised to bring about an even greater good, the coming of our Savior. When we begin talking about the will of God, people often ask that most perplexing of questions. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And I'm not going to insult you with a simplistic answer, but we do get some insight from today's gospel. Let us remember our two main characters. We have the tax collector, who probably was greedy and dishonest. He was also a traitor to his people, collecting taxes for the occupying Romans. And we have the Pharisee, who although he does some right things, does them for selfish reasons. Any good deed he's doing is to glorify himself and to look down on other people. Do you want to know why bad things happen to good people? Because the world is populated with almost 8 billion people, and we all act like the Pharisee or the tax collector at times. We're not idle sufferers of evil around us. We helped create it, to fashion it, to make it more painful. We all have free will, and yet how many of us here today are seeking the perfect will of God? Or are we more interested in getting what we want, even if it means that God has to suspend the laws governing the universe so that we can have it? As a result, human history is more a reflection of God's permissive will than his perfect will. And yet, despite all of that, God's perfect will has not changed. It is for us to have access to the Father and to become sharers in his divine nature. So maybe instead of focusing on the question, why, God, do you allow bad things to happen to good people, and putting God on trial, perhaps we should replace that with the question, how can we make good things happen for all people, and put ourselves to the test? Let us challenge ourselves to choose that which always produces immediate and ultimate good, the perfect will of God. Among the many Bible verses that refer to God's will, living in the perfect will of God can really be summed up by two of them. And the first one we hear often, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's called the Great Commandment for a reason. Not just any love, but a self-sacrificing love. That's in the first place, but the second is vitally important. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 2. God wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The church exists to evangelize for the salvation of souls, not to sit at home in our living rooms and just study the Bible. Love God with your entire being, and then lovingly proclaim the good news with the strength that God has given you. This is how we make good things happen for all people. But I think we are frequently, what we're saying to God is, Lord, give me a light to see. And he's saying, give me your hand. Lord, give me a light. Explain to me why this happens. Explain to me why that happens. How come this is going on? My child, take my hand. Learn to love as I love, and you will understand far more than any light could ever reveal to you. Learn to love as I love, and you will learn far more than anything the light could ever reveal to you. God is knitting a beautiful tapestry with the threads that we give him. And he's saying to us, oh, give me that pretty blue one, and we're like, no, here's a brown one instead. If we hand him enough brown, gray, and black threads, it's going to change the picture. Nonetheless, despite that, the real problem is that we're only seeing the underside of the tapestry and only our little portion of it. The underside of tapestries is ugly. And when you're at close range, the patterns make no sense. But in eternity, when we can step back and see the other side, we will stand in awe of its beauty, especially when we know the kinds of threads that we gave to the Lord to work with. Here are some simple examples of how we can accomplish the perfect will of God. You've come here for Mass. You're already here in God's presence. Where are your mind and heart? Are you here to encounter God? Are we praying that someone we love will come to a saving knowledge of the truth? Or are we stuck in our own world, thinking about the game, planning the meal, distracted by what's going on at work? At home, do our families see us as someone who takes God's word seriously? Do they see us pray? Do we minister to those who are less fortunate or in need? Or are we stuck in our own world, escaping to our televisions and our phones, occupied with our hobbies? At work or in school, do people know that we believe in God and honor him? Do we lovingly but firmly defend the truth? Or are we more likely to follow the crowd? Take my hand. Learn to love as I love, and you will learn far more than the light could ever reveal. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we know why bad things happen to good people. It happens every time we misuse the light God gave us, our intellects and our free will. How many times have the good people in my own home, my wife, my children, my friends around me, suffered because of my words and my coldness of heart? How have I misled them by my bad example in something I did or I failed to do? But it doesn't have to be that way. When we choose the perfect will of God, Christ works in us to restore the peace and order of Eden and to undo the chaos caused by sin. We will not find our way back to God through anything that we can buy with our credit cards. The answer isn't in multiplying unique eating experiences or travel destinations or crossing things off our bucket list. We cannot rely on philosophy or logic to restore Eden. There's only one way. Love God with your entire being and lovingly proclaim the good news with the strength that God has given you. This is how we make good things happen to all people and accomplish the perfect will of God. God is offering you his hand. Will you take it?